Hi, my name is Tracy Cook, and welcome to the podcast series Victim to Victory. This series gives a voice to those that have overcome obstacles in all forms, but dare greatly to share their real stories. Amazing humans like our upcoming guest that have seen hope and risen above those adversities to become victorious, but now support and inspire others to do the same. And today we are giving a voice to Emily Hodgson. Welcome to Victim to Victory.
Hi, Tracy. It's so good to be here. Thank you so much for giving me this amazing opportunity to be a part of something incredible that you do. It's just amazing to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, I want to share a little bit about Emily before we get into her story, because her story is so relatable, it is so authentic, and yet it is so common. And we need to bring awareness to this. Now, apart from being an amazing empowerment and anxiety coach, Emily does really help mums suffering with anxiety to really find their inner voice. Emily's story may have triggers for some people as well, and we want you to listen with an open heart and listen with an open mind. We're going to be going through some really tough topics to talk about, like suicide, confidence, and anxiety, mental health, and we really want it to be an awaken with Emily. And we really want to bring awareness and education and really celebrate life for what it is as well, because our stories are given to us for such a reason. And it all begins with you, as Emily always says. So, Emily, who are you and where does your story start?
Wow. My story really begins living in a small market town with my Christian family. I always had a lot of love from my grandparents. But my mum, me and my mum, we never really had that connection. That's when I now realise, looking back, that my mum was actually dealing with her own mental health issues, her own domestic abuse. And all the way through school, I had a really, really difficult time. If I say feeling like the smallest, frailest little fish in the biggest pond, I never really fit in with anybody. I was born with ADHD, which is a mental health condition where our brains work very, very differently. Learning now that that doesn't actually stop you from doing what you want to achieve. That just makes us slightly more unique than the rest of them. And I was bullied all the way through school, so I never fit in at all. At the age of 13, I was raped by an older boy, and it kind of escalated from there, really. I'm quite happy to be vulnerable, because I think that there's a lot of women out there that don't know how to have that voice, and they feel a lot of shame and guilt and embarrassment about the things that have happened to them. And I don't want women across the world to carry that with them forever. From that point of 13, I met my daughter's father at the age of 14, and he was a bad boy that I thought was going to protect me and look after me. And unfortunately, that was domestic violence from the moment that we were together. And this was emotional, mental, physical, sexual abuse. Looking back now, it's grooming. And I never understood that as a child. I was taken away from my family. I lost contact with my family for a very, very long time. And I was in this extremely malicious family that took a huge hold of me. I had no escape. I had no way out. I was told how to dress. I was told where I had to go. I was told who I couldn't and couldn't speak to. I think I couldn't even go into town shopping without being questioned where I was going and who I was with. And at that point, at the age of 16, I got pregnant. I left school with appalling GCSEs. And once I had my daughter, that was where things got a lot more intense is probably the word to use, because he would kidnap my daughter. He would hide her away from me. He would take her away from me. And that became a very, very difficult time for me, because I had this beautiful baby girl and I called her Faith, because at that time when she was born and I held her, I felt that I had a purpose. I felt that this beautiful little girl that was so pure and so beautiful gave me hope. And it still puts a lump in my throat, because I'll never forget the day that was when I was completely taken away from everybody. My family hardly had any contact with my daughter. They didn't get to enjoy that time with her. Fast forward to when I was 18, I was so physically abused in the house that the neighbor at the time actually called my mum while she was at work and said, "I'm scared for Emily's life." They'd taken Faith away. I had no idea where she was. I was thrown down a flight of concrete steps. I'd been completely battered, and the police came. And it will always be a gratitude for the police that day, because if it wasn't for them, I probably would either be dead or still living with this person today. And that was the moment that I left not just my hometown, but I left with a bag of clothes, 18 years old, 18 and a half. I'd got this little girl and I was being brought into a new area with my mom. So I had to go and live with my mom on her sofa. As I say, I got a bag of clothes. I didn't even get to empty my flat and I had to start all over again. And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my purpose was other than I was a mum. Unfortunately, though, at the age of 13, I'd found drugs. And that was an addiction that I had for a very long time. And I was brought into this new place. I was brought into more extended drugs. I was partying. Again, not knowing my identity, not knowing who I was. And I knew that drugs would take away that pain. And not only did I neglect myself, but this is very hard for a mother to admit, that I actually neglected my daughter's needs for a very long time. And I was very, very inwards, that I didn't see what damage I was actually causing around me. I never stuck a job out. I was sacked from many different jobs. Never knew really what my career was. I just knew that I had this purpose and deep down inside of me that I just wanted to help people, but I didn't even know how to help myself. So that was something that I'd never progressed with. I finally got my own home in 2010. And me and my daughter started a new life together in a new area. And things were really, really good. The partying didn't stop. Of course, my daughter was never around at that time. She was with my mum. And, you know, my mum and my daughter got to build that relationship back up together. And I was kind of doing my thing, as well as being a mum Monday to Friday and Friday to Sunday. I was being extremely reckless. I was in a relationship that I thought was forever. But that relationship soon fizzled out very, very quickly in 2017. And once again, I was vulnerable, lost, lonely, confused, very embarrassed, because I thought that I'd given all of this love and this time into this one man again. And they're starting to see, if you can see, there's a pattern here. I never had my dad in my life. From the day I was born, my father was never around. So I think that I tried to find that love in a man to give me that safety, that connection, that love that I so desired. And in 2017, when I split up with this 7-year relationship, I very, very mistakenly jumped into another relationship very, very quickly. And that was at the point where I hit domestic violence again. And this time it was very much involved around drugs. He was a cocaine addict. I didn't quite realize that at the time. He'd lost his partner. Fortunately, she passed away, and I'd lost my previous partner of 7 years. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I can help you, and you can help me, and we can get ourselves better. Very, very foolish of me to have thought. And it was very toxic from only a few weeks after we were together, but we were both so off our heads, I think is probably the real, you know, I'm very real and I'm very raw. And I hope that this does touch a lot of women out there, because it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to make the wrong decisions. And in the end of 2017, I realized, what the hell am I doing? You know, I was losing my daughter. You know, she was getting older, and it was very selfish of me at that time, because she was hurting from my previous relationship. She was broken. She was a little girl that never really knew her real father, because we had to leave. We had to move away from him. And if I hadn't have, I would have lost my daughter. But then she put her trust and love in somebody new for 7 years, and he walked away from her as if she was nothing. And this whole time, I wasn't seeing what was in front of me. I was just seeing my own pain, my own vulnerability, my own traumas in my own life. That December 2017, I decided that I was losing my daughter, I was losing myself again, and I had to get out. I had to leave. And at this point in time, I'd found out that this man was not only cheating behind my back this whole entire time, that I was starting to feel extremely suicidal again. And I tried suicide when I was just before I was 14, and in 2014, and I was feeling it again in 2017. And in the January of 2018, I lost everything. I'd given up my home to move in with this man. I sold my entire contents of my house to go and live with this man. And he attacked me at the local hospital. And I think for me, this was the first time that somebody had physically attacked me where I had witnesses. And I walked away and I did nothing about it. And it was when I was at work the next day that the police turned up, and they told me that they wanted to make a statement. Now, I was too terrified, because this person is a very known macho man, you know. Nobody messes with him. He's got a big group of gangster friends that they like to think of themselves as. And I got in with the wrong crowd massively, and I was terrified. And I actually refused at first, and they sort of said to me, look, we know this isn't the first time this has happened, and with or without your statement, we are going to pursue charges. This is your opportunity, Emily. This is your time. And I felt like that was an angel in my life that was finally saying to me, it's time for you to talk about what you've gone through. And I was homeless. I lost my job that day because the woman I worked for didn't like the fact that the police were in there. So I lost my job. I'd lost where I was living. He kept my entire belongings away from me for around 5 months in the end, it was. And there I was again, walking through my local town with my daughter and a bag of clothes, and going to the local council to tell them that I was homeless. And that was the moment for me where I realized, what is going on? You know, what am I doing with my life? Who am I? Why do I keep making these same mistakes? Why do I keep being in this vulnerable situation And most of all, why have I put my daughter through this? And it was a very, very painful time for me. And I know there's so many women out there across the world that are feeling that emotion, and they feel that shame and guilt and embarrassment. But we only know what we know at that time. And we can't punish ourselves because of these dark times that we've gone through. But I remember living in a hotel from January 2018 with my daughter that was surrounded by alcoholics, drug users. We were basically in a squalor. And I sent my daughter to my mum's. In my head, I was ready to say goodbye. Nobody knew. I knew that the only thing I knew was that my daughter was going to be better off without me, because there was nothing that I was doing that was benefiting her. I felt like the worst mother in the world. I felt like the worst daughter in the world, the most selfish granddaughter in the world, sister, cousin, niece, you know, everything came in. And I sat in this hotel room with a liter bottle of vodka and some antidepressants that the doctor had put me on, and I commit suicide. And it was like somebody smacked me at the back of the head. It's the only way I've ever been able to describe it. I know that I wasn't there. I wasn't present. And it was like somebody hit me around the back of the head, and I came round and I was sick. And I felt that I'd got a purpose. This wasn't my time, because I'd already tried twice before. This was my third attempt, and I was still here. And in April 2018, I was given the most beautiful home. I had held on, and there was a reason why I held on. And I moved a location. I moved away from the town. I let go of friends that I thought that I had. And I started a whole new, fresh life. But the drugs never left. The drugs were still there. And that was because that was my healing, you know. That was the way that I could numb all this pain that I could not think. You know, when I took these drugs, my pain was gone. I didn't have to think. And I remember, which I've mentioned to you, Tracy, this was probably still in the May or the June of 2018, and I was still not respecting myself. I was still not quite sure who I was. I was still very vulnerable. There were certain men that were still taking advantage of that, because that's what some men do, not all men. There are some good men out there, but some men see that vulnerability and they will take that. But then you're still the issue. It's still your fault. You're the bad person. And I'd been on a massive partying over 2 days. And I was at home by myself. I was lying on the sofa and I cried like a baby for around 8 hours. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And I heard something in the back of my head say, "You need to go to church. Get your ass up and go to church." And I remember thinking, I'm going crazy, you know, I'm hearing things, but I didn't. I even had the same clothes on that I'd wore the night before. I put my coat on. I walked down to my local village church. I knew nobody there. I don't even know what took me there, but all I remember was I'd arrived at this church. I didn't know what time it started. I didn't know who was going to be in there. And I walked in church, and these beautiful people welcomed me. And I crumbled down onto my knees at the altar, surrounded by these people, and I cried. And I said, "Please, God, help me. I don't know who I am anymore." And ever since that moment, and this is a true story, I'd lost my faith in God, and I'd lost all faith in everything around me. And at that moment, I realized that it was God that was pulling me through all of this. And from that moment, from that very moment of being on my knees, standing at the on my knees in front of the altar, surrounded by around three ladies, and there was two gentlemen and the vicar, and it all clicked. I had to think about me. I had to find a way of giving myself that love that I've so desired from all these different men, from all these friends that I had that turned away and let me down. I had to give this to myself. I just didn't know how. So I made the attempt of contacting our mental health team in the area. And I did it myself. I had no referral from a GP. I asked for help. And I said, if somebody doesn't help me, I don't know where I'm going to be in the next 6 to 8 months. I'm tired. I'm broken. I am very vulnerable. I'm scared. Now, us as human beings, our ego doesn't like us to reach out for help. It tells us that we're okay, that, you know, we'll figure a way out. But the problem is we don't figure that out. We just keep going through life in a very vicious circle. For me personally, that's how it was. And from the moment that I asked for help was the moment everything changed in my life. And within only a few months, I'd put down the cocaine and the alcohol, and I started to enjoy being at home on my own. I enjoyed my own time, but the only thing that never left me was the cannabis. And I related to that because that's, I used to say it and still will say it, kept me alive. And for some people, it's very different, but for my personal experience, that kept me alive because that would shut my mind down. You know, it would be my best friend when I was lonely at night. And I was still carrying this particular drug going on. And in 2019, I came across coaching. And I was in a network marketing company and somebody said, you'd be an incredible coach. I was like, what is a coach? You know, I tried counseling. I never got on with counseling. I struggled with so-called antidepressants. They actually made me worse. And during this self-discovery, I realized I didn't want to mask my pain. I wanted a solution. I wanted something that was going to direct me forward. I didn't want to delve into all of the trauma, you know, the abuse, the emotional abuse, the bullying. I didn't want to delve into any of that. I just wanted to find a way to become free and move forward. And I hired a coach, and he changed my thought process. He changed my thinking, and it was only for a very short time. And I then decided, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be. I want to change the lives of men and women, because there are men out there that suffer a tremendous amount of domestic abuse. And it isn't just women. And this is a very, I think, a misconception that we have, is we have to be open-minded from our pain and our trauma, that not all men are bad, not all women are bad. And I wanted to be able to take all of this pain and give somebody hope like I was given. And I passed a diploma, and in 2020, at the beginning of our very first COVID lockdown, I saved four lives from suicide. I didn't have a coach at that time. I just knew that I had a burning desire and a passion deep inside of me that I believe is a gift from God. And I read a statement, which I'm happy to read, to say now, is God doesn't give his toughest battles to his weakest soldiers. He gives them to his strongest soldiers. And that blew my mind, because I remember then thinking, I'm a warrior. I am still here on this planet after three suicide attempts from the age, a very young age. I have a purpose. I didn't know what that purpose was, but I knew that I felt something deep inside of me. And when I started this coaching, as I said, I saved four lives from suicide, a mixture of men and women. And that gave me even more determination. I set up group coaching, And I was helping numerous people to discover their core beliefs, their purpose, what fulfilled them in life, how to understand their anxiety, goal setting, and forgiveness. Now, I'm not sure if anyone else will relate to this, but I knew that I still had a lot of work to do inside of me at this point in time. And I then decided last year in 2021 that I was going to invest the most amount of money that I'd ever invested. I didn't have that money, but I knew I was going to find it. And I hired a new coach. And that was when the inner work really started to happen, because I started to see qualities in me and skills in me that were starting to shine through. I was starting to realize what kind of person I was. I am kind. I am compassionate. I am loving. I am loyal. I am honest. And these qualities that I had, I started to realize other people need to see this in themselves. Because the reason that we feel very lost and we feel very lonely is we try to find all of this in other people. And some people will stand by our side and hold our hand, but other people will still take advantage of that. And since last year, I am very, very proud to say that I am now a recovered addict. I don't even drink. I don't have drugs in my life anymore. I have the most beautiful relationship with my daughter, and we are the best of friends. She's never held anything back from me. She is my best friend. She's my angel. She is my faith. And without her, I get very emotional. I would not be here today. And I don't feel guilt and shame anymore, because actually I've created a very strong-willed young lady, and she is very honest. She is very understanding. She's very compassionate, but she has gone through certain things in her own life through school. And we've actually had faith, which I've mentioned to Tracy. My daughter's gone through suicidal thoughts because of severe bullying at school. But she will listen to me and she will let me explain how she can survive that. And this is what I'm saying. Our story, as Tracy says, has a message. Our story can bring light into somebody else's life that is suffering. And I have created a podcast. I have created a very successful business, which is now Empowerment and Anxiety. And now I just specialize in helping women to see that their bruises and their scars is their superpower. And I want every woman out there to see that they are strong, they are beautiful, and you are not broken, you are breaking free. And that is how I've had to see myself. I'm not broken. I was breaking through trauma. And unfortunately, we do have help from these mental health professionals, but the majority of them have degrees. They don't have the life experience. And I think what they do, I commend them. You know, I think it's a very tough job role to have. But unless you can actually sit with somebody and connect with them, and they say to me, I hear you, I feel you, that's powerful. That's where the change happens, because you know that you're sitting with somebody like I do with my clients. And when they sit there and they say to me, you've saved my life, that to me is an accomplishment. That to me is a success. It isn't about the money. It isn't about the material things for me. It never has been. It's about hearing that one person saying to me, you have saved my life. And I wake up most days and I struggle with my anxiety. It's a lot more curbed than it has been. But since I have recovered from my addiction, my mental health has got stronger. And I started to recognize that the cannabis problem I had was not my best friend anymore. It was my holdback. And that was when I made that decision just last year that it was time to let go. And I wrote a letter to it. And I said that I was grateful and I was thankful for what it had done for me, but it was time to let go because I have bigger things in my future that I need to accomplish. And that is where I'm at. I'm now very happy within myself. I love who I am. I love my flaws. I love my positives. I feel happy. I feel content. And I am very grateful for everything I have in my life, whether that's big or small.
I think you just took us completely into the room there, Emily. And I mean, I was aware of your story, obviously, before we invited you to be a guest here. And I can honestly say I'm holding back the tears in joy for you, in happiness of accomplishing such personal awareness and development that's just helping so many people for a start, and how proud I am of you, of being so vulnerable to share that. And that is not an easy thing. I mean, from rape to domestic violence to suicide to addiction, and now your daughter's attempted suicide, and you've just shared that so bravely, and really took us into your life and your journey. And that's why I'm so proud of you, and so many women are proud of you. That's why you are the change in the world, and that's why you are drawing so many wonderful women to you, you know, like a moth to a flame almost, because you are real. You have walked in their shoes. You've sat with the broken and you've healed, and you can show them through your journey and your honesty, your absolute honesty and your bravery and your vulnerability of how to do it as well. Because sometimes until you've actually lived that life and you've felt those emotions and you're homeless on someone's couch with a bag of clothes, you don't know what it means. You can't read that in a textbook. You have to experience that. And the only way, sometimes I think, is to actually go to that person that's a few steps ahead of you, just a couple of steps ahead of you, to be able to give you that helping hand up. And you're a testimony to being the change that the world needs. You're a testimony to women who are wanting to be empowered and to fight through that anxiety, that little bit each and every day. And by somebody who kind of says, I still wake up crying with my anxiety sometimes, but it's getting better. And we want to hear that, because nobody is perfect. And even coaches are not perfect. But to take people on that journey and to draw people into that room that you just shared with us, it is so powerful. And you are the reason why so many people, so many women, men and women, will get up every single morning and want to be just that little bit better than what they were the day before. And to just learn their lessons, try and recognize some signs, and trying to just be a better mum, just one day at a time. Don't have to do it all at once. And you're a testimony to listening to that voice. And even your honesty around your selfishness and your indulgingness, that is a testimony to the healing and the healing journey that you have been on. Because to stand strong and find your voice and say, I was there, I've done this, and I'm not proud of it, but this is where I am now. Come with me and let's be the change. And that's what you're so good at, is building that community around that, and that voice around that, and the honesty around that. And that's what the world needs. And this is why we have Victim to Victory as well, to really showcase people's journeys like yourself, Emily, and really honour that journey that you've been on, because our story, we have to wear it like a superhero cape and not an anchor. It's there to teach us a lesson. And God taught you a lesson that day. He said, yes, we're not done with you. I'm bringing life into you because I need you to be my warrior. And that's what he's done with you, Emily. And I'm so proud that, you know, you've been so brave to share your story. And I know how emotional it gets when you share your story. And each time you tell it, it never gets any easier. But I know that there's so many people that are listening to your story going, me too, me too. I need to own my honesty. Yeah. It might be an awakening. It might be a smack up the back of your head if you're listening, whoever's listening. Is Emily's story the smack up the back of the head that you need? If so, connect with her and she will help you. Emily, thank you very much for being brave to share your story. What kind of message would you like to leave our audience on?
The message I'd love to leave the audience on is, as I've said already, you are not broken. You are not damaged goods. You are not worthless. You are the total opposite. And you deserve to find that happiness and that clarity. You deserve to have success. You deserve to love yourself. And, you know, I am in a very happy relationship now and I feel love. But let me tell you, I had to find my own love first. And it does begin with you. That is my message in my business, is it begins with you, because when you start to love who you are, it doesn't matter about anything else around you. So just one thing I'll leave it at now is just please learn to love yourself, to love your flaws, learn to love your past, and never, ever let anybody diminish that light, because we all have a light inside of us that we have to shine, and we all have a purpose. And when you start to go internal and love internally, I promise you, if you don't give up, you will find that. And that will be your superpower. Don't ever, ever give up on yourself, because out there is somebody that does love you and they do want the best for you.
I love that. Don't ever give up. We'll be sharing where to connect with Emily. You are so appreciated here. And you can find the Victim to Victory podcast series on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and our Facebook group. Don't forget to join our Brand Your Story Academy course so that you can learn how to brand your story on podcasts and virtual stages. Please subscribe, share, and comment to help be the change that the world needs, just like Emily has done for you today. And let me leave you with a message of figure out who you are and do it on purpose. Thanks, Em.
Thank you.